call out their names or anything, but I want you to think of some recent public figures, let's say over the past 15 years. So for some, that may be hard because maybe you're just a baby or whatever. But in your lifetime then, for those that are younger, but for those that are older, thinking about the last 15 years, some public figures who spoke of and strove toward having a legacy. Maybe even a legacy that actually defied their true character. Now, don't give any names, because we're not here to do that, but can you all think of some public figures like that over the past 10, 15 years or so? I can. That were very concerned about legacy, especially certain political figures and so forth. But legacy is important, isn't it? I'd like to read some quotes from just people in our world, what they say about legacy. Author Shannon Alder said, "Carve your names on hearts, not tombstones. A legacy is etched into the minds of others and the stories they share about you." That's sweet. I like that. Author Victor Alexander, "Inside all of us, there is the need and the desire to be heard, to have our innermost thoughts, feelings, and desires expressed for others to hear, to see, and to understand. We all want to matter to someone, to leave a mark. Writers just take those thoughts, feelings, and desires and express them in such a way that the reader not only reads them, but feels them as well." Now, talk show host Travis Smiley, "The choices we make about the lives we live determine the kinds of legacies we leave." Actually, pretty good. "The choices we make about the lives we live determine the kinds of legacies we leave." Singer-songwriter Lionel Richie, "I think the whole world is dying to hear someone say, 'I love you.' I think that if I can leave the legacy of love and passion in the world, then I think I've done my job in a world that's getting colder and colder by the day." How about this one? Singer Katy Perry, "I sacrifice in my love life and my social life, but those things will be there in 3 or 4 years. This is a really important time in my life. I can't just be the girl who sang, 'I kissed a girl.' I have to leave a legacy." And one of my favorites, boxer, entrepreneur, George Foreman. How many of you own a Foreman grill? Anybody? And aren't they great? George Foreman, that has like 5,000 children, named them all George, right? This is what he says. "It's very important that people know that I really enjoy everything that has happened to me." Even the hits, I guess. "And I tell my kids, you're not going to be the tallest, fastest, prettiest, the best track runner, but you can be the nicest human being that someone has ever met in their life. And I just want to leave that legacy that being nice is a true treasure." That's pretty nice, isn't it? Pretty good. You know, throughout the ages, men and women have spent fortunes. They spent years of time and have even wielded their power over others in order to leave a legacy. There have even been some that have done whatever they could do. That is, they might have murdered, they might have threatened, bribed, whatever they could do so that when they died, their legacy would be famous and their enemy's legacy would be infamous. What a person leaves behind in memories in marks on society, in writings in and for antiquity, or monuments upon the earth, are all part of that person's life's summary. It's important for all of us who are professing born-again Christians to determine the summary of our life. It's important for us to determine the summary of our life. We shouldn't just live and die and let someone else determine the summary of our life. We should be conscious of the summary of our life. Today I want to start with the premise that to be right is to do right. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this time that we can focus on your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will speak through me, that my words will minimize, that your words will increase in our hearts and lives as we hear what you have written in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that you turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22. In 2 Kings chapter 22, well, all of 1 and 2 Kings goes through a dialogue of the kings of Israel. It gives a snapshot of each king. Coming into 2 Kings chapter 22, the snapshot is pretty ugly. These are kings of Israel, and they didn't revere God at all. Some of them were just downright disgusting. Disgusting. And then we come to 2 Kings chapter 22. I just want to read the first two verses. I'm not even going to go into this person's life. All we're going to do is read the summary of this person's life. And it's found in verses 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king and reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedah, the daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the Lord's sight and walked in all the ways of his ancestor David. He did not turn to the right or to the left. What a beautiful summary of a person's life. He did what was right in the Lord's sight. Walked in all the ways of his ancestor David. He didn't turn to the right or to the left. He stayed the course. So we have here a child king. He reigned 31 years. He died when he was 39. And the summary of his life was that he did right in the Lord's sight. That is an amazing life's summary. Now, I'm hoping that over a little bit of time, a few Sundays, that we're going to learn more and more about Josiah and his life and why he was able to leave a legacy like this, to leave this as the summary of his life. But ultimately, what we're seeing here is that Josiah understood that to be right was to do right. Thus, he did what was right in the Lord's sight. Evangelist Billy Graham once said, "Our days are numbered. One of the primary goals in our lives should be to prepare for our last day." Now, this doesn't matter if you're 15, 35, or 95. It doesn't matter. We should be preparing truly for our last days. The legacy, he continues, we leave is not just in our possessions, but in the quality of our lives. What preparation should we be making now? The greatest waste in all of our earth, which cannot be recycled or reclaimed, is our waste of the time that God has given us each day. The Apostle Paul was concerned about days. He was concerned about his days, and he was concerned about what would happen on the last day of his life, not how he would go, but what the summary of his life would be. This following is what he said in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. He said, "My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain." What Paul is saying, this wasn't someone summarizing his life, so Paul was saying, my mindset is that the summary of my life is that I, in all my body, I will do right in the Lord's sight. That's what he's saying. Like Billy Graham. Anything that we do in a day that is not of Jesus Christ is a waste. Oh, it may be something very profitable for us in this life. But folks, if we live, let's just really go wild. If we live to 140 years, I like doing this with students. How many of you can wrap your mind around $100 billion? Anybody here? Did you know that if you started at one, well, if you started at birth and you started counting at one, you would not be able to count to 100 billion before you died, if you lived to 80. All right? That's a lot of money, isn't it? Let's say, though, that you were a hundred billionaire. And you were fumbling for keys in your pocket, and, oh, okay, there's my keys, and you didn't realize that you dropped in a dollar bill and, you know, 40 cents, and you walked on your way, until you got home. How many of you would worry even 1 second, or maybe even realize, if you're a hundred billionaire, that you lost $1.40? Anybody? You think you'd worry about it and want to go back and get it if you're a hundred billionaire? I mean, it wouldn't be worth the gas. It wouldn't be worth sending your gardener to get it, right? You're a hundred billionaire. I mean, I'm not saying that you'd be frivolous with money, but seriously, $1.40? That's not even. I mean, $1.40 for most of us is just chump change. Could you imagine what it'd be for, you know, a hundred billionaire? So now let's think of our life. If we lived 140 years on this earth, let's try to quantify eternity to 100 billion years, which that's not even close. What's 140 years? It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yet, in the time that we spend on this earth, the summary of that however long we live matters for all eternity. Yet we get so caught up in building up a life and, say, a legacy here and now. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible teaches us to be stewards. It says that we should build spiritually speaking, but also in a physical manner as we're able. We should build an inheritance for, it says, our children and our children's children. Scripture tells us this, okay? So we are to be stewards. But if we're not building a legacy that has eternity in mind, then that legacy is nothing, even if it lasted like the pyramids for several thousand years. Eventually, it will be nothing. Nothing. We need to build an eternal legacy. So to please the Lord, in other words, to be right, because the only way to be right is to please the Lord. Yeah, that's what Josiah did. Doing right in the Lord's sight, he pleased the Lord. It's what Paul was doing. To know that to live is Christ, to die is gain, that was because he was right in pleasing the Lord with his life. And so we have to mimic someone like Josiah. Maybe not all the things he actually did, because we'll get into some of that. But mimic Paul to live that kind of a life so that Christ is highly honored. That's what Paul said, right? In verse 20, he said, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death, so that Christ is highly honored in our life. That's how we build a legacy. It will be a legacy for here, but it'll be a legacy for eternity. You know, it's very prideful and honestly godless for a person to think that just being a good, responsible citizen is an okay legacy. That's an empty legacy. It'll die soon after that person dies. You know, it's prideful and, dare I say, godless for a person to think that leaving a financial stable inheritance for their children and grandchildren is enough for a legacy when measured against eternity. We just talked about this. It counts for nothing. The psalmist said it best in Psalm 147, 10 through 11. The Lord is not impressed by the strength of horses. Now, let me give you a little background of that. Literally, armies, kings and armies would measure the strength of their armies by the horses they had, the number, and the health and the strength of their horses. The Lord says here, the Lord is not impressed by the strength of a horse. He doesn't value the power of a man. The Lord values those who fear him, those who put their hope in his faithful love. Well, how do you please the Lord? Fear him. That is a respect. To respect God in everything that we do, to literally, you know, the trite, it has become trite, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus not do? Okay. Yes. Fear him in respect. But I've probably said it before, I'll probably say it again, but you know, God is a father, right? Now, I was fortunate enough to have a father that loved the Lord and loved me. And when I did what I was told to do, when I obeyed my dad, I had a healthy respect or fear of my father. When I didn't do what was expected of me, when I disobeyed my dad, I don't care what you say, respect or whatever, I feared him. Because I knew what was coming. It didn't feel good on my tushy. Okay? He values those who fear him. That means those who obey his commands. Those who put their hope in, not in our faithfulness, but put our hope in his faithfulness, in his faithful love. The person who makes a truly lasting, on this earth, and eternal legacy, whose summary of life then is that of, that's going to last, is someone who is like Josiah, where even someone else wrote, they did right in the sight of the Lord. So to be right is to do right. Besides a legacy for now and for eternity, if we are, like Billy Graham said, if we are thinking of our building towards our end here on this earth, which is really building toward our beginning in eternity, if we're thinking of that, then there are benefits for us right here and right now. There's benefits for us right here and right now. In Proverbs 16, verse 7, listen to this benefit. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'm going to read that again, Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. This really fits with what I've taught students for years and years. And I tell my kids this all the time. Honor God, and he'll honor you. I base that on what it tells us about Jesus growing up. We don't know a whole lot about his life growing up, other than what it stated in the Gospels when it said that Jesus found favor with God and with men. Now, it didn't say mankind or humankind or the world, but all those who knew him, whether they agreed with him, liked him, or whatever, as he found favor with God, he found favor with men. That fits with this. But there's more. There's more. Don't you love those infomercials? But wait, there's more? For only $19.95. Well, for only pursuing to please the Lord. And by the way, it doesn't matter what happened from birth to today. It's from today forward, okay? The Apostle Paul is a great example of that. Man, he was a Christian murdering zealot until Jesus saved him for eternity, and his legacy started then and went on. Same can be for us. So what are some of the other benefits in this life for us? Hey, listen, because we all want to know what's in it for me, right? I mean, that's very human of us. Well, in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, listen to this. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, the happy man's delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. That man is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Wow. I want to be happy. Listen. I've known personally, I have friends who have worked alongside some extremely wealthy people. Wealthy people who, you know, buy a $3 or $4 million summer home. And yet, the one thing that those wealthy people want is to be happy. Now, I love the saying, money but doesn't buy happiness, but I'd sure like to try and see. Yeah. But ultimately, happiness is found in delighting in the Lord's instructions. Well, that's his word. That's his word. And as we delight in God's word, as we meditate on it, as we learn it, as we study it, as we, hey, listen, here at Zohar Baptist Church, come to Sunday school. Not just worship service, come to Sunday school. Come to any Bible studies you can make. We got Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock. We got Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for all ages. Come. That will help you. That will wet your whistle. That will give you some direction in your own study of God's Word. To know what His instruction is. To learn how to delight in Him. And then, don't we want happiness? We're going to learn how to be happy. Like Paul, he said, I've been hungry and starving and I've been full. I've been wealthy, and I've been poor, and in all situations, I've been content. Man, what a great place to be. That's happiness. Well, that comes from delighting in the Lord's Word, and then, of course, to be right is to do right. So it's not just about knowing it, but then doing it, right? says at the end of this that in all their ways they'll prosper. And there are some preachers that try to twist this and make it think that you are going to be wealthy. Because then, for whatever reason, those preachers believe that happiness is found in money. It's not found in money. This prospering is spiritually prospering. Spiritually prospering, remember we talked about this just over the past several weeks, that God wants to help us. Remember we said that. That's why do we pray? God wants to help us. He wants to take care of our well-being physically in this physical earth, but also he wants to prosper us spiritually. This prospering is a spiritual prospering. It also could be a prospering in that you're looking for that, truly looking for a way to find some food. Well, God may prosper you as you delight yourself in him. So then we come to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, which states, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord." Folks, if we claim to know Jesus as our only way for eternal life, if we claim Jesus as Lord of our life, Savior of our eternity, then we are children of light. We actually have a choice. Before we knew Jesus, we didn't have a choice. We walked in darkness. That doesn't mean that people can't be good as people consider good. But people can't be good as God considers good because they're in darkness. But when they experience being born again through Jesus Christ, calling upon Jesus to be Lord of their life and Savior of their eternity, submitting their lives to him and their forgiveness to him of their sins, they become born again, they become children of God, they become children of light. Now we have a choice. We can continue walking in darkness. Folks, I don't know about you, I've been in literally pitch black, where I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. I remember especially one time in Scouts, and I forgot my flashlight. It's kind of tough because we were playing flashlight tag. I was running away from somebody. All I could see was from reflections of maybe other people's light. And I ran smack dab into a tree about this high. Oh my goodness, that hurt. I just hit the ground and I just laid there. Well, that's walking in darkness. If we have the option of being in the light, isn't that a whole lot better? You can see where you're going. And that's what this is, to walk in the light. The fruit of walking in the light, then, is goodness, righteousness, and truth. As we have that, though, we discern, we know what's pleasing to the Lord. When we know what is pleasing to the Lord, we know what he hates, what he loves, and we're able then to pursue what he loves. We're building then a legacy, a summary of our life of to do right, or to be right is to do right in the sight of the Lord. The bottom line is summed up best, again, by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. "For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are confident and satisfied to be out of the body and at home with the Lord." In other words, we're confident that when we die, we're going to be with the Lord. We're satisfied with knowing that we're going to be in eternity with the Lord. "Therefore, whether we are at home with the Lord or away, which is here, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, in this life, whether good or worthless." If there's no other incentive from this day forward to build a legacy, to build a summary of your life of being right by doing right in the sight of the Lord, then maybe this would be an incentive. We will stand before Jesus Christ, who sacrificed everything physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually by giving his life up for us. We will stand before him and he will be our judge. Yes, even those of us who are born again Christians, he will still judge everything we have done or not done. Like James said, to know what to do and not do it, that's sin too. And he will judge everything good that we've done or abstained from or worthless that we've done. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Paul. I don't want to be ashamed on that day. Billy Graham said this: the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. Josiah, the child king, only lived 39 years. At the end of that 39 years, it was so evident by everyone. No one ever argued with this. He did what was right in the Lord's sight, followed in the footsteps of his ancestor David. David was, Scripture describes David as a man after God's own heart, and he didn't turn to the right or to the left. So the challenge for us this week, whether you're young or you're young with years of experience, our challenge is to consider our life up to this point. Was it built up to this point to stand Jesus Christ tribunal? Then take that before God. If the answer is yes, praise the Lord. If it's no, today's a new day. Today's a new day. This should be a message of hope, of encouragement to say, hey, listen, today's the day to start saying, God, with your help, the summary of my life will be that of Josiah. I will be right by doing right in the Lord's sight. That will be from this day forward. If you only live the rest of today and you're gone tomorrow, but you have that as you're confessing before the Lord and you're saying, that is who I'm going to be, God is amazing. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just. He'll forgive us of our sin and he will cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Every day, we should get up and think, what will the summary of my life be today? Let's pray. God, you're amazing. You desire for us to please you. But you don't do that for any selfish reason. You do that because you know it is absolute best for us, that that's what we strive for. We strive for happiness. We strive for fulfillment, for satisfaction, for contentment. It's all found in pleasing you. It's all found in working on the summary of our life to be right by doing right in the sight of our Lord. This preacher right here, God, you know me. You know me more intimately than I can even know myself. And you know that I need to make sure that today I'm going to please you. And tomorrow morning, I need to have that as my focus. Because, Lord, like Paul, I don't want to stand ashamed before you. I want truly my life to be Christ. And when I die, for it to be gain. pray that too for my brothers and sisters here, those who are born again, are Christians, that we will not waste any time walking in darkness in worthless things, but that we will literally every moment walk in the things of our Lord to delight in your name, to know your what is pleasing to you. There may be some here, Lord, that don't know you as Savior. They aren't born again. But they're really looking and they're searching and there's just some things they're still having to work out. And Holy God, I just ask your Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and just speak to them. Work in their heart. Give them understanding of what it is to be saved, to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior by humbling themselves to you, submitting all their previous ways to you, giving up and repenting of their sins. May we then be a church. It doesn't matter how many we are, but may we be a church body that goes out with strength, because each one of us individually, and then we can come together as a whole body saying, we will please the Lord. In Jesus' name. As Janice plays, I'm just going to ask that you stay in the spirit of prayer. Take this time. Because we don't want to dwell on the past, but take just a moment thinking of, okay, God, where have I been? And then let's determine today together. For some of you, maybe physically you need to actually get out of your pew and come up here, because there really is a correspondence between what we do physically in commitment to God and what goes on spiritually. And I really believe if you're serious about this, let's go ahead and come out of your pew and kneel or sit in one of these pews up front, or kneel at the front up here. Let's just take a moment and pray. Today that you'll leave, yes, contemplative, but no matter where we are in our spiritual life before the Lord, I hope that you will leave blessed and encouraged with a ton of hope, because no matter how long we're left on this earth, we can build an amazing summary of our life. Josiah, for all 31 years of his reign, did not serve the Lord. We're going to talk about that later. Actually, less than half. But the summary of his life was that of doing right in the Lord's sight. So let's go out there every day, every morning. I hope that you'll take that challenge and just say, Lord, today I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to know what pleases you. And I'm going to do what's right in your sight. You're dismissed.